Divine Shepherd Lutheran Church and School in Black Hawk, South Dakota, is happy to share God's Word preached for you by Pastor Randy Sturzenbecker. We pray that you will rejoice in Christ crucified and resurrected for you. The waters of baptism, the Lord's Supper, and the forgiveness of sins, all for you, from Jesus.
Chapter 65, verses 17 to 25. Behold, I create new heavens and a new earth, and the former things shall not be remembered or come into mind. But be glad and rejoice forever in that which I create, for behold, I create Jerusalem to be a joy and her people to be a gladness. I will rejoice in Jerusalem and be glad in my people. No more shall be heard in it the sound of weeping and the cry of distress. No more shall there be in it an infant who lives but a few days, or an old man who does not fill out his days. For the young man shall die 100 years old, and the sinner 100 years old shall be accused. They shall build houses and inhabit them. They shall plant vineyards and eat their fruit. They shall not build and another inhabit. They shall not plant and for another eat. For like the days of a tree shall the days of my people be. And my chosen shall not enjoy the work, shall enjoy the work of their hands. They shall not labor in vain, or bear children or calamity, for they shall be the offspring of the blessed of the Lord, and their descendants with them. Before they call, I will answer. While they are yet speaking, I will hear. The wolf and the lamb shall graze together. The lion shall eat straw like the ox, and dust shall be the serpent's food. They shall not hurt or destroy in all my holy mountain, says the Lord. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
The Catechetical Review, the Ten Commandments, the Ninth Commandment. Please read with me. You shall not covet your neighbor's house. What does this mean? We should fear and love God so that we do not scheme to get our neighbor's inheritance or house, or get it in a way which only appears right, but help and be of service to him in keeping it. The epistle reading comes from 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, 1 through 11. Now concerning the time and the seasons, brothers, you have no need to have anything written to you, for you yourselves are fully aware that the day of the Lord will come like a thief in the night. While people are saying, there is peace and security, then sudden destruction will come upon them as labor pains come upon a pregnant woman, and they will not escape. But you are not in darkness, brothers, for the day to surprise you like a thief. For you are all children of light, children of the day. We are not of the night or of the darkness. So then let us not sleep, as others do, but let us keep awake and be sober. For those who sleep, sleep at night, and those who get drunk are drunk at night. But since we belong to the day, let us be sober, having put on the breastplate of faith and love, and for a helmet, the hope of salvation. For God has not destined us for wrath, but to obtain salvation through our Lord Jesus Christ, who died for us so that whether we are awake or asleep, we might live with him. Therefore, encourage one another and build one another up, just as you are doing. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Holy Gospel for the last Sunday of the church year from St. Matthew, the 25th chapter. Jesus said, "The kingdom of heaven will be like 10 virgins who took their lamps and went out to meet the bridegroom. Five of them were foolish, and five wise. And when the foolish took their lamps, they took no oil with them, but the wise took flasks of oil with their lamps. As the bridegroom was delayed, they all became drowsy and slept. But at midnight there was a cry, "Here is the bridegroom! Come out to meet him!" Then all of those virgins rose and trimmed their lamps. And the foolish said to the wise, "Give us some of your oil, for our lamps are going out." But the wise answered, saying, "Since there will not be enough for us and for you, go rather to the dealers and buy for yourselves." And while they were going to buy, the bridegroom came. And those who were ready went out to him, to the marriage feast, and the door was shut. Afterwards, the other virgins came also, saying, "Lord, Lord, open to us." But he answered, "Truly I say to you, I do not know you. Watch therefore, for you know neither the day nor the hour." This is the gospel of our Lord. Please be seated. I would invite all of our children to please come forward. Good morning. How are you guys this morning? Good. Good to see you. Today we're going to do something in church we've never, ever done before. We're going to have a fire drill. Do you guys know what a fire drill is? Mason, do you have fire drills in school? And what does it mean when you have a fire drill? What do you do? When the alarm goes off, you... Yeah, you go out of the building because something might happen and you want to be safe, right? Today we're going to do that. We're going to get ready. We're going to practice it. So if there's ever a fire, we're safe. We need to be ready all the time. So when you get up in the morning and you get ready to go to school, what do you do? Do you eat breakfast? Yeah, that's getting ready, isn't it? Do you put some clothes on? That would be ready to go to school, right? When you get in the car and you're getting ready to go someplace, what do you do to be ready? Do you ever put a seatbelt on? Yeah. Yep, or maybe you're still in a car seat and you might be in the car seat and you're strapped in so you're safe, right? When we're here in church, we need to be ready. Because one day, and we don't know when this day is, Jesus Christ is going to come back and he's going to stand on the earth and he's going to take us all home to be with him. And that will be a great and exciting day. Can you imagine looking out and seeing Jesus with your own eyes as he's standing on the earth? We have worshiped him for a long time, and we haven't necessarily seen the risen Jesus Christ, and one day we will. So as we're getting ready in church for that day when Jesus comes, what things should we do here so we can be ready? What do you think we should do? That's pretty cool. And then makes a bracelet, doesn't it? Yeah. What should we do to be ready for Christ's return? You think we should learn more about him? That's what he tells us in his word, is that we should always be reading God's word. And that's one of the things we do here in church. You just heard the gospel reading read, right? Where we talk about these five wise and five foolish. What other things do we do here in church? Do you think praying helps us be ready? It does. Because when we pray, we're asking God for all kinds of things. And today we'll pray that we can be ready. Do you think we should remember our baptism? And how do we remember our baptism? Why don't you guys come with me? We can remember our baptism by doing this right here, can't we? Put your fingers in there. You guys all been baptized. And what do? What do we make the sign of? We make the sign of the Holy Cross, both upon the forehead and upon the heart. Or we simply do this, remember? In the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. And we remember that Jesus gave us faith. so that we can believe and know that one day Jesus is going to come into the earth again. You know what he's going to do when he comes here? He's going to take us all to go with him and be with him in heaven. And that will be a great day, won't it, when our Lord comes back. So until then, we get ready. We be ready every day by coming to church, by going to Sunday school, by praying, by hearing God's word. Well, let's pray, shall we? Will you pray with me? Dear Jesus, keep us ready so that when you come, we may go with you. In your name, amen. All right, thanks guys for coming up here. And we continue with our hymn. In the name of Jesus, amen. Will you pray with me? Father of grace and mercy, we thank you again for this day. We thank you that you have called us through the gospel. You have given us faith in the waters of baptism. You have prepared us for the day when you will stand again upon the earth. Father, help us ever to be ready. In the name of Jesus, amen. Well, you've probably already figured it out. Today is Fire Alarm Sunday. We've never done it before. That's really new for Lutherans, by the way. But we do it so that you're prepared. We do it so that we can be ready. And as easy as it was, the beginning of this sermon, to use the fire alarm as a way to talk about being ready, it really wasn't planned. It was just one of those things that happened. But the fire alarm is for your protection. It is so that if something would happen, you would know what to do. Not getting ready, but being ready. So when that happens, we know what to do. So that when it happens, we're safe. So that when that happens, none are lost to the fires, but all are saved. Today is not about getting ready. Today is about being ready, both for the fire alarm and for the coming of Christ. Are you ready? Here we go. 3, 2, 1. Here is Jesus preaching about being ready. Not being ready for the fire alarm, but being ready for his return, his advent again, coming to this earth to take all of those who are faithful home to be with him in the new heaven and the new earth. The parable that he tells is well known to us. He tells the parable about 10 virgins, 10 bridesmaids, if you will. All there, all waiting for the bridegroom to come, to honor him with their presence, to pave the way, if you will, with their lamps, giving honor to the bridegroom, and going home to be with him in the wedding feast. All 10 were there. All 10 are gathered, and they all fall asleep, because the bridegroom didn't come when they thought he should come. He was slow, according to them. They waited, they all fell asleep, all the lamps dimmed and maybe even went out, darkness reigned. And then the cry, the piercing cry in the middle of the night that shook them from their slumber, the bridegroom is coming! And they immediately awaken and they kindle their lamps and they trim their lamps, and then they realize something. They realize they're not all as ready as they thought they would be. Darkness is shaken. The sound of the bridegroom shakes them like an Easter morning trumpet, piercing the darkness. And here's the hard reality. Only 5 of those virgins were brought into the wedding feast. They probably thought they were all ready. But only 5 remained there trusting the bridegroom. The other 5 thought that they had to have oil. They didn't trust in the bridegroom. They trusted in other things. They weren't there. And when the bridegroom came, they were all ushered in, those who were there, those who were trusting that he would bring them in with him. These five, the five that were there, were ready. They were waiting to honor the bridegroom and to receive the promise that he gave to them, that he would bring them with him into the feast. The five that were not there when the bridegroom returned didn't really trust him. Maybe they thought their entrance into the wedding feast had to do with their job as torchbearers. Maybe they thought that their entrance in had to be judged by how much light their lamp brought. Maybe they simply thought, hey, I know the bridegroom. I've got time. Even if I'm not there when he comes in, all I have to do is knock and he'll let me in. Maybe they trusted in that. What we do know is those five that weren't there were getting ready to meet the bridegroom instead of being ready when the bridegroom comes. They were trusting in something that took them away from the bridegroom and the gifts that he promised, and they weren't there and they didn't receive them. The words that they hear when they come to the door and knock and the bridegroom answers are words of starkest law. They're words of damnation and separation and death. Truly, I say to you, I don't know you. That's not what Christ wants. It's certainly not what he wanted for those five bridegrooms, and it's not what he wants for us. Excuse me, for those virgins, not bridegroom. That isn't what Christ wants for the reality. That isn't what Christ wants for any. But unfortunately, it is the reality for many. The five virgins weren't there when the bridegroom came and expected to get in later. Imagine their surprise and horror when they knocked on the door and they heard, I don't know you. Imagine the separation and the fear. Today, as we talk about being ready for Christ's second coming, today's a good day to ask two questions that really help us to be ready for that day. Are you expecting to go to heaven? And are you where Christ wants you to be to receive the gifts that he promises to you? Those are great questions for us to wrestle with. If you've answered no to the beginning of those questions, if you've answered no to both of them, come see me. Email me, call me, make an appointment, stop by, let's talk. Because God has gifts for you. Great and eternal gifts that are really, honestly, out of this world, gifts of goodness and peace and forgiveness. If you answered yes to those questions, are you going to heaven and are you where Christ wants you to be to receive his gifts? Thanks be to God that you are ready, that you're receiving these gifts continually for you, for the strengthening of your faith, and that you might live in his peace and his joy. But if you answered yes to one of these questions, to the first one, and no to the second, remember that your answer is inconsistent. Because if we are ready for Christ's return, and we do truly trust in the bridegroom, then we would be where he asks us to be to receive the gifts that he promises to us. It is in this place, right here, where God promises you that he joins us today and always right here in his very body and blood for you. It is here as we gather in worship that his word is preached into our ears to strengthen us so that we're ready. It's here in this place where we hear words that no place else in the world can give to us. You're forgiven by what Christ has done for you on the cross. If you answered yes to the first and no to the second of those questions, ask yourself these follow-up questions. What is it that's keeping me from the gifts that God wants me to have? That's a great question that only you can answer. And when you find out what that is, when you figure out what it is that's keeping you from God's gifts, receiving them in your mouth and on your lips, then you have just uncovered your idol or idols that are keeping you from the promises that God has for you. Whatever the world or your flesh is promising you is not nearly as good as the gift that Christ gives to you. Peace and forgiveness and promise and hope and eternal life with Him. And a life with Him here on earth where He promises to be with us. God's word for us today is not about getting ready for Him coming. It's about being ready. Confident in the promises that He has given to you. Confident that if that trumpet should sound and the Christ stand upon the earth again right now, that we would go to be with Him and He would say, "Come into the feast. Come and join me in the eternal kingdom prepared for you from the creation of the world." That's our hope. That's being ready. God's word isn't about getting ready. It's about being ready. Ready to meet the bridegroom. The last Sunday of the church year directs us to ask again the question, what does it mean to be ready for Christ's return? What does it mean to meet your Savior? Well, the answer is simple. Live the Christian faith. Live your baptism. Remember your baptism. That you are a child of the King with all the promises that the King has given to His children. You are an heir, and His great riches and mercy are yours. Be ready for that last day is living in the baptism and receiving the gifts that Christ promises us. Receiving His word preached into our ear, not just today, but being in His word every day that He might strengthen you and guide you for that day through His word and promise so that you can fight all of the things that are going on to try to pull you away from the promises of Christ. Being ready means gathering in worship where Christ promises to be. It means being here to receive the very body and blood of Christ in your mouth for you, for the forgiveness of your sins and the strengthening of your faith. Because every evil devil in the world wants to pull you from the promise that Christ has for you. They want to put an idol in front of you to pull you away from where Christ promises to meet you and to make you a promise that they will never keep. This Sunday of the year, this last Sunday of the church year, it's always difficult to preach this parable of the five wise and the five foolish, because we so quickly want to equate this parable, if I do this, then God will do that. If I come to church, then God will take me to heaven. And that's the wrong way to look at it. It's not about what we do and about what God will do. It's about the fact that Jesus has done it all. All of it. All of your salvation was done by Christ on the cross 2,000 years ago and gifted to you, so that you would be with Him in the eternal life afterwards. All of these things are a free gift to us. And gathering in worship means we're honoring the bridegroom who has given us these gifts. Receiving His gifts of word and sacrament is honoring the bridegroom because He has set us free from sin and death and eternal condemnation. Today isn't about getting ready. It's about being ready. It's about confessing the Christian faith. It's about receiving His gifts. It's about living in peace and joy and hope and forgiveness. And the promise that one day when Christ stands upon the earth, He will say to us, "Welcome to the feast prepared for you." And we will go to be with our Savior. In the name of Jesus, amen. And now the peace that passes all understanding guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen.